Good evening. Will you turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians 10, 23 through 30. The first part of our passage tonight, which I'm going to read in just a moment, indicates that the preacher or the teacher of Scripture intends to be bound by the same bonds which Paul declares in our passage tonight. Here, this passage as I read verses 23 through 30, where Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are sick, or weak, and sickly among you, and many sleep." Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we consider these things tonight, that you will bless us by your truth, and that you will help us to receive the truths of these words as taught by your Holy Spirit. Pray that you'd let not the presentation get in the way, but rather that things might be made clear and that the Holy Spirit would anoint. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul guides us in this scripture, saying, "For I have received of the Lord," and I tonight have received of the Lord by the scripture, the text that I intend to use, that which I now deliver unto you. We're all generally aware of the truths that God wants the people who are receiving the communion elements to know. But it helps me, and perhaps it will help you tonight, to list some things, to consider them individually and to meditate upon them, even though we generally consider them in the whole train of events and understandings that we celebrate each time we partake of the communion memorial. We cannot hear these words and warnings too often, but we may be prone in hearing them often to begin to faint of careful consideration of what we are doing and of what we are remembering and how it should try us in these moments and fortify us for the moments of our lives which are ahead. This exhortation that Paul gives us here, an instruction, is taught off the ground of the confusions and the errors of the Corinthian church about 25 years after the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. So soon had misunderstandings and imaginations worked havoc in the observance of the memorials that were carefully given by God. Now, we don't have a record of the first giving of this gracious provision of God, as it may have been given by Paul. He speaks here as if he had, as if they had wandered from the practice that he had already given. Even had he not addressed these instructions with them before, they are clearly and consistently described in the Gospels of Luke and of Matthew and of Mark. The three Gospel writers give the additional understanding that this is an eternal memorial, that this will be the last time that Jesus offers the communion elements to them, and the last time he takes of the communion elements with them, while he is yet among them on the earth. Here in Luke 22, and I'm sure you're all familiar with those, turn to Luke 22 so that you can see this little bit. The communion service in Luke 22 is that I want to touch is verses 15 through 18, where Jesus says those wonderful words that I like. Jesus says, with desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. As he desired, with desiring to eat this Passover with them, so must the steadfast, unchangeable God desire, with desiring to eat and drink with them when the kingdom of God shall come. It shall be as urgent a desire upon him then as it is now. It is an eternal covenant, an eternal sacrament, if you will. What we take now in faith shall then be swallowed up in victory. How shall our receipt of these present graces, which we only know here by our flesh, how shall they be magnified when we are made like him, to see him as he is, to see these as they are? Only God knows. But there's a wonderful thing in store for us as the communion service is perfected before our sight, before our eyes. But to return to the Corinthian passage, Paul is instructing and admonishing these believers, real believers in a real time, some 2,000 years ago. And any curious, he's admonishing those believers, and he's also admonishing any curious unbelievers who may involve themselves in the life of the church. Paul is rebuking them for the particular practices which were there corrupting the simple intention of the communion memorial, the pillar and ground, the rule of what shall be done, is what Jesus did and what Jesus said. The wise believer, the wise church leader, will abide by a careful understanding, a careful and a narrow understanding of the form and substance Jesus prescribes for our good. Scripture warns again and again against additions or subtractions from clear commandments. Scripture commands us and encourages us to do those things in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I said earlier that we might profitably list and consider some of the elements of Paul's direction, of the Lord Jesus' direction. Jesus, who had provided the meal, now he didn't fix the meal, but he is the one who caused the meal to be prepared for them. Jesus gave to those whom he had favored and commanded. As we look into what happened when Jesus served his disciples, he gave to those who had been favored to be his close disciples, and he commanded them to take. Our flesh is so froward that it doesn't much like commandments. But coming from God, we're happy when we realize that God's commandments are great kindnesses. Jesus told them each to take. This is a clear and simple commandment as it was given. This is as clear and simple a commandment as was given to Adam and Eve in the garden, who were told to not take. And the kindness was the same. To submit and to obey spoke to life and to worthiness. To rebel and to refuse the kindness genders unto death the way of unworthiness. We see by their example that even without a history of disobedience and without habits of disobedience, even the imagination and the undisciplined desire of one not consciously and absolutely intent upon careful and literal submission. The scripture gives manifold illustration where God gives sufficient, simple instruction, which is not simply followed. God has made the believer able to say yes, able to take what God proffers. Then Jesus says, eat. He would have us not only submit to the accepting of his providence, he would have us incorporate his provision, the material evidence of receiving the good of what he did. Where once he said, don't eat of the fruit of the one tree that shall harm you, even while you are free to take of all the other trees, now he says you must eat of the fruit of the one tree that shall help you, the fruit of that tree, the cross, the tree that is truly pleasant and good and useful to make one wise in enjoying the Savior and in being a witness of his goodness. Matthew Henry describes this gracious provision, this new Passover that finds us to save us. Matthew Henry describes it thus, as he says, appointed to be done in remembrance of Christ, to keep fresh in our minds an ancient favor, his dying for us, as well as to remember an absent friend, even Christ interceding for us in virtue of his death and now at God's right hand. And think too of this. God does not call us to celebrate here the cost of the pain of the work, but the glory of the victory, the goodness of the victor. The living Christ who has overcome death and the grave, who has in all things done the work the Father gave him to do, who went to the one tree that our disobedience planted and gave what justice demanded. This victor says, take of me and eat, so shall it be seen well with you and pleasant in God's eyes. And so Christ spent his life. In the same manner also he took the cup. He presented to them the antitype, the finished work that all the sacrifices prefigured, and the finished work, our justification, which this memorial celebrates. He took this cup and announced not the chemistry of it, or the taste they might expect, but he spoke the good of it. He gave to them that they might take it from him, and that they might realize and celebrate his intention, that they would often drink in remembrance of the blood he would soon spend for them and for all who would believe and receive. He gave them the strength of it. He said, as often as you drink in remembrance of me. There is no magic that we can see in this transaction. The lame do not walk from this table, nor do dead men take and rise. Our attendance upon it has been the miracle. The miracle has been done. The wonder of this work is in the evidence before us. We who come to this service are called to come to honor and celebrate the victory of the Lord's death until the risen victor shall come again to receive us unto himself. Let that mind be in you. Let that mind be in us, the mind of him whose we are. Let your behavior and your tongue here confess that Jesus Christ is risen to the glory of God the Father. Jesus shows himself in this communion service in a humble form. It is given to the believer to remember the glory of the Savior in the plainness of these elements, in the deserts of this dinner where trusts are seen for victory. We need not add to the good we have. We need not add to that good any of Achan's fragile treasure, any of those things that we would grasp unto ourselves. We have in Christ the victory, the sure and certain hope of heaven, and God within us, God beside us even now, and that is enough. But for some, this simple service was not enough. They would add a little here and a little there until They are fallen from what was given clear and fine to what was coarse and what speaks of grasping prominence and careless lust. Some there were in Corinth who of their cane-like other abundances were adding to the service of the Lord's communion elements of their own fascination to the plain and painful end that the things they chose to bring became their treasures in those moments, and Christ's body and Christ's cup reduced to a feeble and despised thing among their other delicacies. This arrogant elaboration, this unworthiness, is named by Paul as an unworthy excursion off the spare appearance and the humility of the transaction that simply speaks of faithfulness to faith. We ought not to fix our baubles on the simple crowns of glory named here by the King, else we fix our eyes and deceive our eyes on baubles when faith is only ever helped as the simple crown is seen to mean the King. It is unworthy for a believer to add, to try in any way to add to the glory of this table. Christ is here. The believer properly brings nothing but repentance and his hunger and his appetite for Christ. Our humble receipt of these plain tokens is in presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, preferring his will and his way above our own, a living sacrifice wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Simple, plain obedience, our reasonable service upon the form and the figures that he has given. We here remember him. We here declare our love in knowing whose we are. He says, take, eat, take, drink worthily in remembrance of him who has loved you enough. Well, I haven't taken long, but I've said what I intended to say. But there's another way I might have said it, so I'll take just a little more time. Another way I might have said what I tried to say tonight is, if we are not here of knelt and kneeling hearts, we are here unworthy of the glorious moment's start. Here is Shekinah glory dim, God with us. Here, another pillar of fire and of cloud. Here, this pillar of his own holy flesh and this fountain of his own holy blood that speaks to us aloud, God with us. Take, eat, and of him drink. Him that for you stood, taste and see that he is good, that he is God. For he is whose we are. And by these tokens we can see and trust so far as faith will need, till we are final brought to stand in that awful presence, there to meet the faithful Savior, Son and Brother, God's own seed. God, glory, honor, laud, God with us, and us with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you might minister to us out of the words of Corinthians and Luke and out of these meditations that are here delivered. Bless us, Lord, according to our needs. In Jesus' name.